broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for February the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Check it all out. Get involved in the patriotism responsibilities that we all have, would you please? All right, I normally would do the recap, but Kurt gave me literally 32 stories yesterday. It's just too much to recap, folks. So you're going to have to go to LibertyRoundtable.com. You're going to have to just check out the news. Huge show notes, the biggest show notes we've ever created. And now Kurt's got more. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Justin Bieber in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right. I didn't know about this, but the headline reads, Justin
Why would
Bieber
you know about
celebrates...
it, Kurt? It's about God. They don't want you to know anything about this. Now, if he worshipped Satan, it would be top news, buddy.
That's a great point, Sam. Anyway, the headline reads, Justin Bieber celebrates giving his life to Jesus. You know, it's a Breitbart piece.
Yes, Justin Bieber, Kanye West, anywhere. Me, you, Donald Trump, and just about everybody's jumping on that reality check, Kurt.
Well, I know, and I was just kind of shocked to see that. He's a superstar, you know, at least I've heard of him and all that stuff. And Thomas D. Williams writes a piece for Breitbart. And it says he opened up on his relationship with God in an interview with Apple Music's Zane Lowe, in which the Grammy winner underscored the free gift of accepting Jesus.
That's fantastic news.
He's 25 years old.
Yeah, he's got a wife, Kurt. See, they're not going to talk about that either.
A man and a woman.
Mm. Yeah.
He says, God has already loved me for who I am before I did anything to earn and deserve it.
Yeah. Now, by the way, he melted down, had all kind of mental issues. People were thinking it was kind of curtains for Justin Bieber. He basically got away from the people that were, you know, negative in his life. He got married to a woman. He is embracing his Christian values. It's almost like the Kanye West story, Kurt, where they really just had a heck of a time living the worldly life, and it beat them down to the point where they just had to plead for help. And they turned to God, and things have been better since.
Yeah, he says it's a free gift by accepting Jesus and just giving your life to him. And what he did is the gift. The forgiveness is the thing that we look at. And I'm going to worship you, God, because you gave me something so good.
Amen. It's the forgiveness, but it's also the repentance on the other side of the coin, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. When you turn to Christ and God and repent and change your life and stuff like that, then there's blessings for doing that. And when you keep the commandments of God and repent, then you receive forgiveness, and your ability to, you know, grant forgiveness to others increases. And, you know, good things happen. And I just want to know where the mainstream press is on this one.
Yeah, great point. He says, I guess he got baptized in 2014, a Pentecostal pastor at a church called the Hillsong Church in New York. And he told Apple Music that he tries to live more of by love than by rules. He says, and so you live that life of, like, I don't want to cheat on my wife, not because it's the right thing to do, but because I don't want to hurt her. See the difference there, he said. Well, anyway, and like you say, this story mentions the DUI and resisting arrest and some of that stuff.
Yeah, because they love to bring up any mistakes anybody that's turned to Jesus has made. Now, if you bring up, you know, if somebody's like a Satan worshiper or cheat on their, then you don't really talk about their mistakes. You just talk about how they have the right to choose, or their body, or whatever, you know, excuse you want to make up. That's how they call good evil and evil good. But in this case, I think what we need to do is just jettison the mistakes that he's made. Same with Donald Trump or some of these other people, and say, hey, have they really changed? And if they have, you know what? Let's give them the support. And if they haven't, let's pray they do. And let's, okay. And I look at it completely different than the news makers look at it, Kurt.
Very good. I didn't know he was a Canadian-born artist, but that's what the story says.
You don't know
says.
Anything about him, Kurt, because you haven't studied Justin Bieber at all. Like, you don't even know about his incredible song with Dan and Shay, do you?
No, I've never even heard of Dan and Shay.
They're a country band, Kurt. And so Dan and Shay and Justin Bieber got together, and they created a song called 10,000 Hours, buddy. You need to know about it.
Wow, did it take him 10,000 hours?
No, sir. But you ought to check out the lyrics. They're pretty good now.
I bet I should. He says, I don't know if I'd be alive for sure. It was dark, really dark, talking about, you know, the troubles that he went through.
Yeah.
But he says, so I'm very, very grateful to have influences in my life that have played a huge part in me seeing their relationship with Jesus and their relationship with their wives and their relationship with their kids and saying, that's what I want. And I'm striving for that after that. He says, so I was thinking, too, obviously, when we want to be successful in certain things, there's things we have to work hard at. But striving for God's love or God's approval or people's approval, it's like God's told me. He said, I mean, I don't hear from God audibly, but I feel like God's, when he sees us, he's not this God that a lot of people think that, like, judgmental. And he's a God that accepts us for who we are and loves us through our pain and through our dirt.
That's all true, but he also wants us to repent and receive his blessings. There is some work we need to do. And the only fear that I have with this is, you know, it's not all just Jesus and we do nothing and we live lives of sin. We've got to do our part and repent and turn to him and keep his commandments to qualify for many of those blessings. And I know that's a big debate in the, quote, you know, community of followers of Jesus Christ, but I'm just telling you that we need to be very careful to not minimize our responsibility. For example, in the Bible, you know, Jesus says, come follow me. And the man says, hey, what do I do? I've followed you. I've done everything. And he says, lay down your riches and follow me. And the poor gentleman walked away and couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. At least that's what we hear. Now, hopefully he changed his mind and did it later. And we just didn't get that part of the story in the Bible. But I'm telling you, there is some efforts we need to make that we need to obey Jesus's invitation, if you will. So anyway, I bring that up not to down anything Justin Bieber's saying, but just to point out the reality that we do have some responsibilities. We need to choose to be baptized, for instance. We need to. So there's a lot of work that we need to do, although it is the grace of God that saves us. There's no doubt about that. All right, Kurt. Fearless Donald Trump's in the news. You think Donald Trump's fearless?
Well, yeah, Kurt? Sam. I guess he tweeted something.
He's not fearless in tweeting, that's for sure.
Anyway, and I guess the tweet was, when you strike at the king, Emerson famously said, you must kill him. They say that this was a same tweet that got one of President Trump's buddies. The guy's name is James Woods. Now, you probably know all about who James Woods was, but, you know, I mean, he's an actor, but that's about all I know because that's what the story says. I'm just not caught up on him, but,
you know,
he
says... You're supposed to go to Wikipedia and learn about him, learn when he was born, learn about his education, learn about his family. Come on, Kurt.
He said, when you strike at the king, you must kill him, and I guess Mr. Trump's foes struck at him but did not take him down. Triumphant Mr. Trump emerges, and that's what they're saying now. He's going to be evil and wicked because he wasn't killed by the strike. I, on the other hand, think that this is kind of a battle with the whole the evil swamp monsters, and that's what he's been having to deal with.
Yeah, I'm just not sure who's in the swamp and who's out of the swamp at this point. But
it is tough to tell sometimes.
Speaking of that, Mike Pence is in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah, you followed this story, Sam.
Yes, I have.
I don't know.
I'm all caught up on it,
buddy. Bloomberg is, you know, kind of a... Well, he's spent, half a billion almost so far, they say.
What's wrong with that?
Advertising. Every so often, I even see him on my YouTube stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's buying up Well, he's buying up a lot of support, I guess.
By the way, Sam and Kurt haven't received a penny from Mike.
No, he forgot to send us send us cash. But I guess in one of his former life,
you would say one of his Joe Biden moments, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. One of his deals where he was, I guess, when he was mayor there in New York, he kind of downplayed the value of a farmer. You could say, right?
Sam? Well, he just said anybody could be a farmer. I could teach anybody to be a farmer. That's kind of a, you know, basically downing the profession, downing anybody that's a farmer. I mean, it was a very, very, in my opinion, insensitive and foolish comment to make. Not only that, but it's completely out of touch with reality, Kurt. That's, I mean, beyond that, you know, hey, who's counting, right?
Well, you know, I know a little something about this whole farming thing, you know, and it was interesting to me. Yesterday, I was listening a little bit to Sean Hannity's program. And so
why do you listen to all these guys so much, man? I don't get it.
Well,
I do know why, by the way.
I'm selling honey, Sam. When I'm out selling honey, you know, sometimes, I mean, number one.
You listen to the radio.
I do that. And sometimes it's interesting to see.
Yeah, but how many choices do you have?
The whole world get told. I only have about three choices.
And you listen to one of the three, don't you?
Yeah.
And I wonder why that is. Well, because that's the only choice.
He who owns the media makes the rules.
All right, so we're going to come back. Kurt's going to tell you about being a farmer. And then we're going to hear from Paul Harvey about farmers.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, so Mike Bloomberg is an idiot and basically, you know, said he could teach anybody to be a farmer. Farmers are just kind of nobodies and not important and can't work and just kind of lazy and on the government dole. There's no doubt many of farmers are on the government dole. That's another topic. Nevertheless, Mike Pence responds. What did Mike say, Kurt?
Well, he basically... he didn't really like what Mr. Bloomberg had said, and so Mike Pence basically responded by suggesting, you know, he shared this audio from Paul Harvey, you know, that was, I guess, back in, I guess it's
so he responded with the rest of the story, Kurt, is the point.
Right. You know, that's right.
All right. Now, you have more of the story, don't you,
Kurt? Well, in 1978 is when Paul Harvey put this little piece out, but I guess in 2013, The Ram Truck Super Bowl commercial used this as well. And so, you know, if you've got the audio, then people can hear what.
Yes, well, I'll do it. But you're in the middle of the story, Kurt. I just wanted to give people, because the headline talked about Pence's response to Bloomberg in the first place. So that's how it all started. And now you were selling honey listening to Sean Hannity. And I said, why are you doing that? And the answer is because there's no other choices in the media. That's why.
Well, good point. You know, in this case, Sean was like, well, you know, are there any farmers out there that have any, you know, that maybe do something more than stick a seed in the ground and pour some water on it, you know?
Yeah, because he made a little joke like a recipe, like, hey, you know, get seed, dig hole, put seed in hole, bury it, pour water on it, and just hang out while it grows. And, you know, and then he got kind of mocked. And so Kurt's selling honey. He's not putting seeds in the ground, but he's listening to Sean Hannity.
Mm-hmm. And some of the guys would call in and made me think of us growing up. Like, this one guy's a rancher, and he's got seed stock, and some people might not know what that is, but that means you've got cattle that you're raising so that somebody else can use them to for their herd improvement and that kind of thing. And he was talking about the DNA selections that they do so that they can combine the right bulls and cows and get better offspring, and the marbling, and they use MRIs to check the size of the meat and all that kind of stuff. And it did sound kind of
them redneck farmers go high tech, they don't like her.
Yeah, and
yes, they do, sir.
And and then the other guys, talking about the different plants and different things that they had to deal with, and it did sound pretty high tech. And I've seen that in my own life working as a nutritionist for dairy cows. And so this is a pretty good little.
Yeah, the point is the contest is on of who can say the more stupidest things, Bloomberg or Biden. Who can just double down and just stupid, and then Donald could tweet and go, these guys are low IQ. And then we can all laugh and move on to the next thing. But anyway, so Paul Harvey made this incredible deal about a farmer. And then I got a follow-up little tidbit for you about it. But this came from 1978. Paul Harvey, he was speaking to a crowd, as far as I understand. Right, Kurt?
That's the way I understand it. He usually was speaking to a crowd.
Yeah, but one's on the radio. The other's
Future Farmers of America, a convention, and spoke, said this.
Yeah, the point is you got to know this because it wasn't one of his radio shows. This was when he was speaking to this group. And here it is.
Good point.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a 5-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Wise words of wisdom from Paul Harvey. And so Mike Pence didn't talk a lot. He just kind of pointed to that audio and said, there you go, Bloomberg, highlighting, you know, what an idiot statement that was from Bloomberg. But, I don't know who's worse in their statements and in their views, Bloomberg or Biden. They all seem about the same. But it kind of made me think of something that relates to us, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, you know, on the eighth day, God made a farmer. On the ninth day, ladies and gentlemen, God made a patriot. And I don't have the blessing of writing mine down to make it sound as good as Paul Harvey's, but I'm going to do it on the fly. When the country's going to heck in a handbasket, God needed somebody to reverse the trend. Somebody who would love the Lord their God with all their heart, might, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. When the Democrats and the professional do-gooders run around and call everybody a racist, God said, I need a patriot that understands that they're all my children. When they perverted gender, when they destroyed traditional God-ordained marriage, God said, I need a patriot that, no matter what they say about him, will stand at the head of his family, love his wife as Christ loved the church, love his children as I love them, and do his best to teach them about God, family, and country. And when the Constitution is about to be shred to pieces, I need a constitutionalist, a patriot, to stand up and defend the principles that made America great. And then the more they're maligned, the more they double down. The more they're attacked, the more they stand up. The more they're abused, the clarion call goes out for God, family, and country. And so God made a patriot. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. James Edwards is with us, a well-known talk show host in his own right, author of Racism, Smacism, the incredible book that, by the way, needs a version 2 to come out soon, with all the different manipulations under the Trump administration and Obama administration we've seen since the book is written. Nevertheless, his show is an award-winning program every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. To learn more, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Show notes, archives, and a whole lot more throughout the week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. James, on the ninth day, God made a patriot, sir.
Sam and Kurt, what an inspirational start the morning. First with that beautiful Paul Harvey talk that really harkens back to an America that's sadly gone by. I mean, the old family farm and those rough, rugged people. I mean, I know that they're still farmers, but not really like that. We actually have, I bought at a Christian bookstore, one of the things he said about needing a caretaker. So God made a farmer's beautiful picture of an old barn in a autumn setting with the sun just beginning to rise. It really makes you want to be a better person when you think back on the kind of people America used to produce. But yes, Sam, to the extent that we can, we try to be, I guess I could relate more to the latter than the farmer. The former, I have a black thumb, as they say. But no, we try to do the best we can with the resources we have, and it's an honor to be a part of the struggle with you and Kurt, my brothers.
And I know on the fly, mine's not near as eloquent as his, but it's just on the fly. I just thought of it right while Paul was speaking. I'm just like, you know what? God made patriots, too, and that's kind of where we fall in. And farmers, fought and died and bled and created this country with their turning to God and then working as hard as they can. And it's up to us, the patriot, to preserve this great country. By the way, speaking of farmers, a Russian farmer just shared video of the rescue of four horses that fell through some ice into the frigid waters of a pond. And anyway, incredible video. It's gone viral. And I got that from UPI News. Just kind of interesting. Farmers work hard, folks. That's the bottom line. Quick pause. We work hard, too. We'll tell you about it coming up. Sam, Kurt, and James on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former governor of Illinois Rod Blagojevich, who was sentenced in 2011 to 14 years behind bars for trying to sell a former President Obama's Senate seat, has had his sentence commuted by President Trump. Also a one-time Celebrity Apprentice contestant, Blagojevich was released from prison yesterday and spoke with reporters at the Denver International Airport, saying he was railroaded by prosecutors.
There are a lot of communities in America that know what this has been like, to be able to be persecuted and railroaded by a corrupt and frankly racist criminal justice system.
The president also pardoning former New York Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick, who pleaded guilty in 2009 to tax fraud and lying to the government. He'd been released from prison in 2013. A Justice Department spokesperson denying reports that Attorney General Bill Barr is considering resigning over the president's tweets about the department. And this is USA Radio News.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Did you know that life insurance rates have fallen 60% over the past 25 years? Even if you already own life insurance, you should check out the folks at AccuQuote. Since 1986, they've helped millions of people save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. Want some examples? Here's this one. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 worth of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are also available. And if you're on medications or have health problems, the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find an affordable policy. Nobody does it better than AccuQuote. Call 877-437-5912 right now. That's 877-437-5912. 877-437-5912. Life insurance. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Each policy forms and availability vary by state.
Candidate Michael Bloomberg can expect to be grilled by the five other contenders who will be on the stage with him in a Democratic presidential debate in Las Vegas tonight. They've all been accusing the billionaire of trying to buy the party nomination. He'll be on stage with candidates Sanders, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Biden, and Warren. The worldwide death toll from the coronavirus topping 2,000. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
South Korea, Canada, Australia, and Britain are rushing to evacuate citizens from a cruise ship that is quarantined off Japan's coast amid a drastic increase of the COVID-19 infections among its passengers. The Diamond Princess is the world's largest cluster of confirmed COVID-19 cases outside China, with 88 new cases confirmed on Tuesday. That raised the total to 542 passengers infected with the disease since it was placed under a 14-day quarantine on February 3rd.
And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, live and on your radio, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, James Edwards, deeppoliticalcesspool.org, riding shotgun today. So I did, so God made a patriot, Sam Bushman. Amen to that. That's how this country became to being, ladies and gentlemen, I might add. And it's up to us, the modern-day patriot, to preserve this wonderful, God-given land. All right, Bloomberg, there's a bunch of stories about Bloomberg in the news. Kirk's got like five of them all in a row. First one, Bloomberg drops $124 million in Super Tuesday states alone. Rivals are now going on the attack and saying he's trying to buy the presidency, Kurt.
Well, don't you think that's what's going on, Sam?
Oh, it's the first time anybody's ever bought their way into politics, Kurt. So, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen money as the mother's milk to politics before.
I look at some of these other scandalous, shocking. And they either buy or cheat their way in, you know. I mean, do you really win without buying or cheating your way in modern day?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, they've got to get some. I mean, really, the media has to support you or you've got to literally buy them. And in his case, Bloomberg's got a big piece of the media already with Bloomberg News. And then he's got money. Well, as far as I know, he's got even more than maybe everybody all put together there of all of them, you know.
He's got a lot more than McDonald, that's for sure. Yeah. You know. And it's hard to say because he didn't just buy into wealth or just didn't wake up wealthy, did he? Didn't he earn his own wealth? Isn't that kind of the big push for Bloomberg?
Yeah, they say he got it a lot by selling information, I guess.
Kind of like old Jeffrey Epstein did, that sex trafficking dude. He was kind of an information baby, too, there now. Anyway, we won't go there. But nevertheless, I told you guys Bloomberg was a contender, and everybody kind of laughed at me and went, Bloomberg's nowhere. He's not even on the ballot in half these early going states. And I said, it doesn't matter. You can do a lot with money. And it's true. In fact, in Nevada wild, Sanders has advantage, but vote counting could be messy, says the headline. Well, I bring this up because, look, they changed the rules so he could, be in Nevada and then so that he could be in the debate tonight already, Kurt. And so Bloomberg's going to have his debut debate tonight with the Democrats. So they just changed the rules when you got a lot of money, buddy.
Well, that's...
The rules are for thee, not
just
for
like
me.
We talk, that's right. It's kind of like when Hillary gets a parking ticket. It's no problem. If you get a parking ticket, you're going to jail.
Your car will be impounded. Who knows what will happen to you, but it will not be pleasant, sir. You got to uphold the law, for crying out loud. James, what do you say to this? Right. Bloomberg's a contender, buddy.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, especially when I think back on the fact that I cut my teeth in, presidential campaigns working for Pat Buchanan. I can remember one of the big things that we were working for was trying to get Pat in the debate, the presidential debate, because you got to remember that last time he ran, the Reform Party was a party that received matching federal funds, taxpayer money, because of the showing that Ross Perot had in 1996. So I believe, if memory serves, now that was a minute ago, it was about 20 years ago, but I believe that the debate commission changed the rules that would have otherwise allowed Pat to debate because he was receiving these federal matching funds in order to exclude him. And so I did read with a bit of a disgusted chuckle that...
Yeah, so they don't want you in the debates, they'll change the rules and you're out. They want you in the debate, they change the rules and you're in, buddy.
That's it. I mean, and that was one of the things, people had to have so many individual donors. Well, of course, Mike Bloomberg is self-funding, so he says, and certainly true to a large extent, self-funding his whole campaign, and he didn't meet that one prerequisite to qualify for a debate, so they just instantly changed it. Even the fact he wasn't even on the ballot in the first two primary states, didn't campaign, has zero votes, zero delegates, but now he can certainly be on the debate stage. It doesn't beat anything you've ever seen. It is par for the course. I remember being naive. That was a long time ago.
But I wanted to catch everybody up on the reality of that. They just change the rules to do whatever they want to. The rules mean nothing. What they do is they uphold the rules. If it's to their benefit, they're like, well, by golly, there's rules that we got to obey here now. But when they want to break the rules, they just break them. And they're really rules for thee and not for me. It's kind of their mantra. But Rush Limbaugh is in the news with a prediction, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And, in his case... he's speaking out pretty good, but the headline reads, Limbaugh predicts Sanders' third-party run if Hillary is Bloomberg's VP. Sub-headline, you think crazy Bernie's people are going to sit there and take this? That sounds logical, doesn't it? What do you guys think?
James?
Well, they cheated Bernie. This is not hyperbole. They cheated Bernie. I'm not a fan of the communist Bernie Sanders, but he should have been the nominee 4 years ago. I mean, there's no doubt that they cheated him out of the process with delegates and in different states. You would like probably they did in Iowa already this year. He was a good soldier for the Democratic Party, by all accounts, publicly at least, a few years ago. If I was him, I would certainly burn it to the ground. Why would you support such a corrupt institution? And, well, of course, that can be said about both parties. And of course, I've always worked against the Republican Party as a conservative and as a nationalist and as a guy who has America's best interests at heart. But would he run a third-party candidacy? I say it's 50-50. There's a puncher's chance. Going back to Bloomberg, it's really interesting, this sort of unconventional presidential campaign. He's just dumped so many. I think, like you said, him being so much more wealthier than Trump, I think that he has $68 billion. And he hasn't really done much, as they call it, retail politicking, where he goes out. And
why would he do that? Why does he need to?
Well, that's a good point.
Look, the more I don't do retail politics, the more you don't beat me up over stupid things I've said, and the more you don't trap me against a candidate and make me lose because the media makes everybody look bad if they want to. And I can avoid all that and just spend money with you and get you to shut up and treat me nice if I pay you enough money. In fact, Bloomberg is doubling down in the tiny state of Utah, which really mattereth not, but it does matter, and I'll tell you why in a minute. He's already spent over $2 million in the state of Utah. He's already appeared here once, and he's coming back. to Utah.
When is Utah on the primary schedule? I mean, obviously next is Nevada, then South Carolina.
It's Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday, March 3rd.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
but here's the deal. Why would he be so interested in Utah? And the answer is because you got this senator that's by name Republican. He's a rhino, and his name is Mitt Romney. And, you know, what if he takes Mitt Romney as a running mate instead of Hillary?
Well, and, you know, listen, Sam, you may be onto something here because people may forget that when he ran for the mayor of New York in the early 2000s, he ran as a Republican. He spoke at once again, to show that there's not much difference between the two parties. He spoke at George W. Bush's 2004 Republican National Convention.
Correct. And now you got Mitt Romney, who was the governor of Massachusetts back in the day. That's as Democrat as, quote, Republican as you whatever get. And you know, you could say, hey, let's put Bloomberg vice president. Let's put Mitt Romney as presidential candidate. And, you know, could the two run and make it? If Hillary can do it, you know, Hillary, I don't believe, will be the vice presidential pick. They're floating that because it gives him some boosting in the polls and makes news. But I don't think she's healthy enough to do it. And I know that she's too old to be a VP pick because then she couldn't be president down the road if he made it even 4 or 8 years. And so I doubt that Hillary will do it, but they're using the boost now and they're kind of putting the exploratory balloons out there. So then we'll say a little later, well, what if he picked so-and-so? What if he picked, and we'll see what kind of becomes the match made in heaven. But who else has got a lot of money? Answer, Mitt Romney.
Well, that seems to be what all the pundits are saying is the key for the Democratic nomination is to be the moderate that can knock off Trump. And he is sort of, well, apparently, I mean, who knows what to believe? It's like the old song, I heard it through the grapevine, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. And that's pretty much true in politics. And the fact that this guy, just by dumping hundreds of millions of dollars, can all of a sudden catapult to the top of one of the two parties' nominating contests without really getting out and talking to people. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is the strategy of the future. It's certainly never been done before. I mean, even though Trump poured a ton of money into his campaign, he was everywhere. I mean, we remember back in 15 and 16, I mean, he was out doing rallies every day, it seems.
There you have it. And you know what? If you got a Mitt Romney who became the presidential candidate and Bloomberg became the vice presidential candidate, then 90% of the bad stuff Bloomberg says wouldn't matter because he wouldn't really be under the hot seat. You know what? Mitt Romney hasn't said things that I like necessarily, but he hasn't put his foot in his mouth over and over. He's a lot more suave and debonair and able to control what he says. I mean, he comes across very well if you don't understand constitutional, you know, reality checks. But nevertheless, I bring this up because Nolte's in the news, Kurt. Columnist bringing up another point.
Very good, Sam. But real quick on this last one. So you think that Bloomberg's going to spend $500 million so far to basically be the VP pick, and he'll say, I'll turn it over to Romney?
I don't know who's going to pick. I just know this. We haven't seen the last of it. You got what? How many months left? Seven? Eight?
Yeah.
Right. And so that's you know, you take out January and you take out
November.
Most of November and December. So,
yeah, okay.
For sure, so you're at nine, months, but yeah. Then we're already February, 19th?
Good point.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
you know, I don't know how long.
Tuesday's 2 weeks.
Right. So here's the point. I don't know that he'll spend that money to do that by choice. No. But I think at some point they're going to have to make an alliance and make a deal and create, as many are pointing out, a possible brokered convention because they got to somehow shut down Bernie. And they got to make sure that when they shut down Bernie, nobody else can break out into the lead either. They don't want Biden. He's just too much of a liability. Who else? What are the options? Why would Romney betray his whole party? Is there a reason?
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
Michael Bloomberg is 78 years old. Mitt Romney is 72 years old, ladies and gentlemen. This might be their last opportunity. So it might be a Mike Bloomberg slash Mitt Romney ticket. I don't know. But I know this. Kirk just gave me a headline that says this. Not just the Bidens, but Kerry, Romney, Clintons, Pelosi, Soros, they're all tied to the Ukraine. Big money leads to the Democrats is the bottom line. So, you know, I don't know who they're going to pick, but they got to not step in it, if you will. And they got to find somebody that can beat Trump. And they're having a real hard time doing so. And so it wouldn't surprise me if they create an unholy alliance of some kind. I don't know if it'll be Romney. I just know this. Why is Bloomberg spending over $2 million in the little state of Utah? 90% of Utah is pretty much Republican, first of all. Secondly, you know what? The Democrats don't have a chance in Utah. Even if they did, there's so many contenders, and a lot of them aren't really even for Bloomberg. So why would he already came to Utah recently, and he's coming again, and he already spent $2 million in the state. Romney does this weird betray his party deal, and everybody's kind of wondering what for. Some are calling him a patriot. Some are calling him a betrayer. There's even folks now in Utah trying to get him to resign over his misstep, as they call it. But I wonder if there's a strategy behind it all. And I don't know what it is. I'm not telling you that I have intel. I'm just telling you that it's very strange. Kurt and then James.
Well, and you bring up this story about the Ukraine that includes Romney. So then you could say, hey, all those guys that could be, with a bunch of mud on their face or on their feet or whatever could, you know, work together to... I guess you could say get rid of the president and all that stuff. But anyway, this next story you want to
hold on. We're going to notate, James. You want to come in on that though? There's just too many weird ties to Utah and to Romney and weird steps that I don't know what's going to happen. But I know this: what's going down ain't by accident. I'll tell you that. So what's the real puzzle pieces? I'm not sure that I know.
Unless Bloomberg, and he does, just has so much money where he can saturate states like Utah that's 90% Republican. With advertising blitz stops and whatever, and that could be the case. What you say is something that could be glaringly obvious that no one's talking about yet. I mean, as I listen to you break it down, it's, you know, a light bulb went off, at least in thinking from practical politics strategy. That would make a lot of sense.
Now listen to this. You ready for more? So I get that he might just spend a ton of money and blink it, and, oh, well, it's just a site. Who cares? Hey, don't leave Utah out or whatever.
Well, then he'll get the delegates, right?
Right.
He'll get the Democratic delegates.
That's right. So, but here's the question. Here's the question. On top of all that, he's setting up, he's already got an office in Salt Lake City, but he's setting up a second office in Utah right now as well. Two offices, plenty of money, visit twice. Why the focus on Utah so much?
Well, like you said, with the, if the path is the moderate that can knock off Trump, if he, you know, because all these presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders has been running for president nonstop for, what, 8 years? You know, the tried and true model is you start campaigning in Iowa 2 years before they have their beleaguered caucus, and that's what everybody does. Bloomberg didn't even start running until, like, 2 months ago, and even then it was just with this advertising blitz that's just been a historic precedent. But Yes, with the thing coming out with Romney having gone against Trump on the impeachment, and Romney, you know, obviously not being much of a Republican anyway, even by Republican standards, it would make sense. I think, you know, all the Never Trumpers would have a home.
You'd have the Democrat-Republican divide, you know, where the people to unite and not divide anymore. Where the people to...
Well, the Democrats are going to vote for Bloomberg no matter what. I mean, if he's the nominee, which is still hard for me to believe.
Well, that's right. But Mayor Pete's in the state of Utah, too, battling it out.
Well, I mean, again, they might be going for the delegates of, you know, Utah, not because they have... Well, that's obviously what they are going for Super
Tuesday. Yeah, because if they say this, you know, so we missed Iowa, who cares? We got Utah. So we missed whatever, but we got Idaho or whatever they're doing. Flyover states that didn't matter now are becoming important because of the failure of Iowa and because of the scrutiny brought forward and the dollars that can be spent. They're going to just sideways their way into this. So Nolte's in the news with kind of another point on this, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And the headline reads, Sam Donaldson endorses Bloomberg, trashes Trump as sick or an ignorant. Now, if you don't know who Sam Donaldson is, I mean, maybe you're not familiar with him. This guy's 85 years old now. For a lot of years, he basically was, you know, I guess 52 years, they say, he covered, you know, these campaigns and that kind of thing. And so now he's, usually
he's like
he was
the CNN
on ABC
political correspondent, right?
Well, I think it was ABC back then, but did, you know, I mean, they called him the Jim Acosta of his time. They called him an obnoxious grandstander who heckled, shouted, and made speeches. Anyway, the bottom line is he's not what you'd call a freedom lover or something like that. But
again, it's interesting, though, that he's getting more and more endorsements, more and more states, more and more circumstances.
That's right.
As he kind of runs parallel to the election process right now, or at least the way it used to be. But he's garnering more and more and more and more and more attention. And every time you hear something, it elevates Bloomberg. Every single story eventually elevates Bloomberg. There's a strategy afoot. What it is, I don't pretend to know, James. But I do know this. This ain't all by accident. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, my final point on it a moment ago was that the Democrats are going to coalesce behind the nominee, which eventually they will, no matter who it is. If Bernie doesn't run third party, which I doubt he would, I doubt it. If I had to pick, I mean, I think it's a possibility, but I doubt that he has that in him at his age. And, you know, by the time the race comes to that point, I mean, that would certainly throw it to Trump if he did. The Democrats coalesce behind their nominee. Let's say it's Bloomberg for argument's sake, that he pulls in a guy like Romney, who really doesn't disagree with him on much anyway. And that brings over all the liberal Republicans and Never Trumpers.
I don't know, though, if you say they don't agree. I think Romney and Bloomberg agree on a lot.
Oh, no, that's what I was saying. I thought that's what I said, that doesn't really disagree with him on much.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, they agree on a lot of stuff. I mean, Mitt Romney's like, I want to get the guns of lethality out of people's hands, but I'm a Second Amendment supporter. And Bloomberg's like, hey, man, stop and frisk. And, you know, Mitt Romney's the guy that's like, hey, let's promote gay marriage and let's promote government health care. And Bloomberg's like, well, let's tame it down a little bit. But, you know, those are good points. We got to promote socialism. And, you know, they seem to be two peas in a pod, as far as I can tell.
Sure they are. So, no, I think that's a formidable ticket if they get it. Because, again, on top of all that, then you really got a I guess the most radical base of the Democrats, you know, would still be upset about Bernie. But what are they going to do? Not vote for Trump? And you've still got the ongoing demographic decline that favors the Democrats with, you know, the illegal aliens and the declining white birth rates. That is a, you know, reliable Republican base.
Speaking of declining white birth rates, Mayor Pete speaks out, puts his foot in his mouth. Kurt?
Well, it's a good place for his foot, I think. But anyway, you know, I'm looking for that. There it is. Pete Buttigieg, we are all lifted up by stories about abortions, he says. You know, I've never been lifted up by stories about abortions.
I've never been lifted up with regards to stories about murder.
Yeah, you know, it just wasn't my thing, you know.
But again, this is where when these radicals go so far to the left, you've got to get a Bloomberg and a Romney and say, hey, let's calm this down now and go to the center. And, you know, we don't want this partisan divide. Trump's too far to the right. Bernie's too far to the left. And Well, I'm just telling you, it's not too hot and it's not too cold. It's just right, James.
Yeah, guys, well, I think you're onto something about the Bloomberg and Romney thing. I mean, at least potentially. I mean, Bloomberg's got to do a lot of things. He's got to start getting votes. He hasn't even gotten one yet, but I think that's about to change.
Well, there's a lot of polls now that are putting him at the top, though. He just reversed with Biden in Florida.
I mean, you know, do we believe these polls? I mean, I guess it's possible. If that's true, though, that you don't have to campaign.
No.
You don't even have to enter the race until 2 months before, after.
Yes, it's true if you have enough money, buddy.
If it is true, then that totally revolutionizes presidential politics, if it's true. But now, as far as Mayor Pete, you know, this is another guy that they've really tried to position as a front runner, who's a nobody that doesn't have money. And even he's still at the top of the polls. I mean, do we believe these polls? Who's to say?
Well, it's kind of like the lady that voted for him, and then she found out he was with his gay man, and she's like, I want my vote back. So even if the polls are true, people will regret it the second they do it.
Or like the other guy that we heard about in Iowa. I talked about this on my show. He was there to vote for, you know, the Iowa caucus. And by the way, Nevada's a caucus, right? I mean, so, you know, that's what's coming up next. But the
yes,
Iowa
sir.
Caucus,
don't worry, though. It's a real caucus, though. It's not going to melt down like the one in Iowa now. Let me tell you what they're doing in Nevada, just so you know. They got this Google form that they're going to use to keep track of the votes. And what it's called is a caucus calculator from Google, buddy. That's how they're going to fix it. Did you know that?
Oh, good, good. Well, that's what they need is more technology. They don't need a pen, a paper, and calculator.
That's correct. And you got to go to Google for your tech, buddy.
Absolutely. We know we can trust Google. But in Google, we trust. That's what
we all right, Franklin Graham firing back too, Kurt. It's getting crazy, buddy.
Well, that's right, Franklin Graham. I guess he's been or he's had some plans for traveling overseas,
yes.
Sam.
I'm back with this.
Anyway, the headline from WorldNet Daily, Franklin Graham fires back at truthophobic LGBT radicals. Subheadline, the gospel is what is really being banned from these venues.
Now, let me stop you there. Franklin Graham is making a point that Sam Bushman has made forever, Kurt, which is they're coming after the Christians, baby. It isn't about gay and lesbian or about this and that. It's all about destroying Christianity.
Well, and apparently at a series of these places, he's just basically been told lately that, hey, they've canceled his venues, even though he had contracts. They've breached their contracts and canceled his plans. But to his credit, he said he's announced that he'll be doing the series of meetings anyway, sometimes at nearby larger venues. And
bring it on. Good for him.
Yeah.
By the way, we got to finish the hour telling you about a Walmart shopper because, you know, while they're out battling politics and, you know, arguing and spending money and doing whatever they do, we at home, the flyover country folks, are doing some good, Kurt.
Well, that's right. The headline, Walmart shopper uses grocery cart to help stop alleged thief. And so what you have basically, you know, this guy's criminal is running out of a Walmart that's been, you know, tracked down as a basically robber there in Walmart, and the policeman's in pursuit, and the shopper is out in the parking lot, and he sees what's happening, and just at the right time he pushes his shopping cart right in front of the thief, and gets him to crash down, and the policeman catches him. So another good citizen
helping
out.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got to pay it forward, baby. We got to have copycats.
Yeah.
We got to stop the thugs and promote good everywhere we go. If shopping carts be the tool of choice, by all means, let her rip. For Sam and Kurt, radios are, I don't want to say weapon of choice, our tool of solutions. That's the way I'd put it. Thanks for being alongside for the Riot Hour, one of the can, hour two coming up. You got James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, Kurt Crosby, and yours truly. Hour one in the can, hour two, straight ahead. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. LovingLiberty.net, LibertyNewsRadio.com, and the syndicated radio networks. LibertyRoundtable.com for archives and live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Donate at any of those sites today. Every penny will help us grow our presence as we take on the mainstream press like never before. The new media is taking center stage, and we need your help. LovingLiberty.net, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.